That is a horrible and immoral system to have, in my opinion. The Federal Reserve makes all that possible, and that's why I think it's got to go.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh for Reason TV. We're here with Tad Lumpkin, the writer, producer, and director of American Dream, an animated short film looking at the Federal Reserve. American Dream is out. You can find it on YouTube.
It's kind of spread virally, and it's probably posted on 50 different YouTube channels now. Yeah, but yeah. If you add them up, we've had about six or 700,000 views.
Probably the main determining factor in governmental economics in America right now is about public sector workers and their compensation, specifically their pension, post-retirement compensation. You also have, you know, these massive wars that have been going on forever and will go on forever. What is the Fed's role in all of this?
When you look at any war they fought, you know, the Civil War, and you deplete the treasury of the gold. I mean, you were limited by what you had as to what you could do. There hasn't been that limit. It's been a progressive change. There's the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. As you move through time, there's further and further disassociation with gold. There's looser banking standards. There's preferential treatment for merging into larger and larger financial institutions. Who are some of the biggest players in the financial markets or pension associations? They want more and more of the capital to be committed to more and more finance, which is the reason why banks and financial institutions' roles have become overemphasized in their true importance in the world. They've hijacked the system to say, we get unlimited streams of money from the Federal Reserve. We've geared all the laws so that everything is in large pools of investment capital where you've got people forced to invest just to keep up with the rate of inflation. And they're not doing it because it's like, well, here's a really good business opportunity where I think I can take my hard-earned money, put it at risk, and make more hard-earned money. It's like, well, if I use it or lose it, I mean, either deploy it, put it in the system, or it evaporates to nothing. That is a horrible and immoral system to have, in my opinion. The Federal Reserve makes all that possible, and that's why I think it's got to go.
You take on the Federal Reserve in this movie, and it contains a lot of parodies of popular movies, 300, Back to the Future, and so forth. What are you aiming to do?
We felt like there's a lot of excellent material out there. Organizations like Reason, there's been books written like End the Fed, Ron Paul. How do you bridge the gap with your friends or your family members that may know nothing, may not really see why they need to know something, aren't going to commit to reading a book, don't want to watch a documentary? We need to market Austrian economics. We can't just lay it out and say, oh, well, it's the best, everyone should follow it, because we think so. I think you need to tell people why. You got to come up, you got to brand it.
Hey, buddy, need some money?
Oh my gosh!
They called it free money.
Yeah, that's exactly what my loan guy told me. Free money.
Give us an idea of what's in the movie.
We tried to take a very, you know, a prototypical guy who was in a prototypical situation, lost his house, lost his job, was struggling, and was falling behind and losing his American dream.
Don't take my dream! Oh, how did this happen?
And we felt like by having a Ghost of Christmas Past sort of methodology that we could walk our citizen through and show him, this is why you're losing your American dream. This is why this is going to matter to you, your kids, and frankly, the future of America and why this is important.
Debt equals money pile. Remember that. Debt equals money. The more loans they make, the more money they make.
There are some liberties with history that you take. There's a bit about the Rothschild Battle of Waterloo, Courier story, which has been fairly well debunked.
He beat everyone back with the news of the war and told England that Napoleon won. The Red Shield backers in London pretended that England was doomed and started selling their English stocks.
The IRS is depicted as a big monster with a Rothschild logo for a head. Why do that? Why not tell the story more straightforward?
Well, because with the Rothschilds, for example, we use a lot of conceptual ideas to make a point. We kind of pin them as the first sort of mega global organization, global sort of banking financial organization. The use of their shield isn't to say they run it all now. It's more to represent the idea of kind of high finance. And the fact that they sort of took it to the next level with the Waterloo and the front running, they did have the information first. Now, the question is, did they ever trade on it or not? I don't know. Goldman Sachs gets accused of front running. People black box trade. Again, it's the idea of who's got the power. Or maybe they didn't use it for bad. Maybe they did. I don't really know. But it's the idea of why are we putting so much of our trust into people whose primary motivation is expansion of influence and their own personal gain.
In some of the iconography, there's like a lot of octopus imagery and so forth, much of which is, you know, an octopus is a good metaphor for something that has its tentacles all over the place. Mm-hmm. However, that also has a history in anti-Semitic imagery, and we're also talking about the Rothschilds. Any concerns there, or have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about the octopus per se being an anti-Semitic image. People,
it's not kosher to eat anyway.
I guess not. I'm not hearing anything specifically on that. There's been a couple people who've brought up, oh, well, you're using the Rothschilds. Does that mean you're proliferating some sort of anti-Semitism? The fact that these guys came from a Jewish heritage does that then mean they're off limits to use as a bad guy? So then if they weren't from Jewish heritage, then that would mean, you know, they were Polish heritage, so then we're anti-Polish. We're not anti-Semites. We're not promoting anything to do with that. The point wasn't anti-Semitism.
Right.
The point is to stir the pot.
Speaking of stirring the pot, there's a lot of sort of cartoon violence through the whole thing. We're in an era of a special sensitivity about all that kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Since Gabriel Giffords, everybody's blaming everybody except the shooter for the shooting.
Right.
Any concerns there?
I don't think anybody, or I hope not, thinks we're saying go kick Hank Paulson in a pit. But again, it's idea. It's like stand up and do something and like let's go get motivated.
What is the movie's call to action? What are you supposed to do after you've seen this movie?
There's not a reason for violence, but there is a reason for civil disobedience. There's a reason to put marches together, to vote for people, you know, who want to shake the system up, like the Ron Pauls of the world. They want to shake the system up. That is how we change things, and that's what we're advocating.
How does eliminating the Fed, or in some way pinioning the Fed, get us toward actual management of the size and nature of government by the people rather than by the Harvard Business School?
So many people put their faith in these elites because they have these degrees. It's the same guys from the same school, and it's like, well, let's hand over the entire economy and the monetary system to, you know, nine guys who think they're smarter than everybody else, as opposed to the free market. That whole idea of other people being responsible for our lives is completely broken, and why we're in this scenario. The Federal Reserve itself, anytime you give unlimited capacity to print money, then the government's going to grow. And the reason they laugh at gold and they hate silver and this and that, and they make fun of all these hard currencies as being old-fashioned, is because that's the anchor that prevented them from growing. They have to live like every other person does, shrink when times are lean, and they can do more when, you know, times are good.
We're still up against a world where most people believe, the government shouldn't be shrinking when times are lean. That's when they should be taking an active role in taking up the surplus supply and all of the other Keynesian notions.
But I would argue that's the reason why these things continue to go on. I mean, what happens is if you don't let the system reset and resources and capital liquidate and reallocate, then you don't ever fix the problem. You just medicate the symptom. You cannot spend more than you make and just inflate the dollar to infinity. At some point, there will be a mathematical stopping point to that. It's just really irresponsible. I think the reason that we're losing our middle class has nothing to do with regulation and big business out of control. It's got to do with the fact that we don't have free markets, we don't have real money. The things that we're telling that our politicians sell as helping the common man are really the cause of the common man's demise. That's why we're trying to make mass consumable entertainment that gets those people awakened and fired up. We need voters, we need people to hit the street and protest and vote and spread the word and be part of the solution.